Welcome to Chair Chat, an online web series hosted by me, Jamie Harrison, the chairman of the South Carolina Democratic Party. Our goal in this series is to begin to look at political leaders, activists, and people involved in politics in a three-dimensional manner. We will move past the political caricatures to get to know the individual. So now, let's chat. Hello and welcome to Chair Chats. This election cycle, the topics of jobs and the minimum wage have been on the top of everybody's list. And today, our guest is an expert on jobs. We are pleased to welcome to Chair Chats the Honorable Tom Perez.
It's great to be here in my personal capacity, Jamie. Yeah. I love being here down in South Carolina.
Well, it's so good to have you here in South Carolina. The Democrats here are so happy and excited to hear your remarks and to hear what you have to say. We know you've been on the front lines of fighting for jobs and fighting for employment for all Americans. And so we want to thank you for that.
Well, thank you. And it's always inspiring to come down here to South Carolina because I've spent a lot of time down here over the last, frankly, 20 plus years for work.
Wow.
And every time I come down here, I meet people who are doing extraordinary things. So today will be no different. And I'm sitting here with you, so it is no different.
Well, great. Well, thank you so much. I think that, you know, the first thing I would love to hear from you is what, in your opinion, what has the administration been doing on jobs?
Sure. Well, I think it's important to remember where we were and where we are and where we need to go. When President Obama took office, the economy was in a ditch. It was the deepest ditch of our lifetime. We had lost 2.4 million jobs literally in the 3 months before President Obama took office. Mm-hmm. The economy was in free fall. The auto industry was on life support, and the Republicans said, pull the plug. And now you fast forward, we've had 73 months in a row of private sector job growth. That's the longest streak on record.
Wow.
And that's to the tune of over 14 million jobs. If you want to grow this economy, elect a Democrat. And let me give you one more data point. You know, when Ronald Reagan took office, if you look at the last 35 years, mm-hmm. starting with Ronald Reagan, the Republicans have had the White House 20 years, the Democrats have had the White House 15 years and change. Net new job growth during that 20 years of Republican rule was 15.8 million jobs. Mm-hmm. Net new job growth during the Clinton administration and during the Obama administration, and we're still counting, is over 31 million jobs during that period. Wow. That's what it's about, is creating jobs. And so we've made tremendous progress. You know, in the depths of the recession, there were 7 job seekers roughly for every job opening. Now there's 1.4 job seekers. So the labor market's tightening up. We're seeing progress in a number of other areas. And so we've come a long way. But at the same time, nobody's spiking the football in Washington, D.C., because the unfinished business of this recovery is to make sure there's shared prosperity for everyone, to make sure that the rising tide lifts all the boats and not just the yachts. And the reality is the economy continues to be out of balance.
Yeah.
There's too few people getting too much. And wealth is concentrated at the top. I meet so many people who haven't had a meaningful raise in years. Meet people working 50-hour week and they're getting their food at the food pantry. And that's not who we are. And so the president, we continue our efforts. And it's been an honor to be part of this effort. We've made tremendous progress, but we know the unfinished business of this recovery is shared prosperity, making
exactly
sure
right.
that everybody, the economy works for everybody and not just for a wealthy few.
Well, and you hit on a topic that I think is really important and really has been an important topic in the Democratic presidential debate, and that's this issue about wage stagnation, the need to increase the minimum wage. What are your thoughts? And particularly, I would love to get your, a lot of Republicans, it's always a part of the talking points, which is right. if we increase the minimum wage to $15 an hour, that means unemployment's going to increase and everything else. The world, the sky's falling, the world's going to blow up. Give us the real skinny on what happened.
I mean, when Franklin Delano Roosevelt signed the Fair Labor Standards Act, that's when we established the minimum wage. And when he signed it, he referred to the calamity howlers, who said that if there's going to be a minimum wage in this country, it's going to be the end of the world as we know it. And you know what's interesting about this? There's two truths, I think, about the minimum wage movement. You know, one is that it's historically been bipartisan. Mm-hmm. You know, every president except two since FDR has signed an increase in the minimum wage. Wow. I worked for Senator Kennedy in the mid-90s. He worked with Newt Gingrich and President Clinton to increase the minimum wage. George W. Bush worked with the Democratic Congress to sign an increase in the minimum wage. And that's the truth number one. And the reason that there's been bipartisan consensus is because it makes sense. When people have money in their pocket, guess what they do? They spend it. They don't. You know, I don't know too many minimum wage workers who have offshore accounts, in the Bahamas or Bermuda. They're spending that money. When I talk to employers, and I make house calls all over this country all the time, and I say, what do you need most? The most frequent answer I get: customers.
Yeah.
And so study after study after study has demonstrated that when you have reasonable increases in the minimum wage, it's great for the economy because it puts more money in people's pockets. People go to the restaurant more often. People buy more products. And that's how we create a virtuous cycle. So, truth number one is there's been support historically, bipartisan support for the minimum wage, dating back to, the days of FDR. Truth number two, though, is that the Tea Party caucus of these Republicans hasn't gotten the memo. And you have candidates for president right now on the Republican side saying things like a low minimum wage is not a bad thing for America. And that's just unconscionable. These are folks who haven't spoken to minimum wage workers. I was in Detroit recently with the Fight for 15 movement. Yeah. And I met a woman, a fast food worker, three kids, struggling to make ends meet. And the night before I met her, Jamie, she slept in her car. We can do better than that as a nation. And we have to do better than that as a nation. And that's why the president continues to fight for increases in the minimum wage. That's why Democrats continue to fight for increases in the minimum wage, because nobody who works a full-time job should have to live in poverty. And I say to my conservative friends, why are you subsidizing the low-wage business models of companies? Mm-hmm. If you increase the minimum wage, say to $12 an hour, that was the most recent study I read, if you increase the minimum wage to $12 an hour, you would reduce the ranks of food stamp recipients by over 3.5 million. You'd save billions of dollars for the taxpayer, and you would do that for all the right reasons, because people were making more money and it was lifting them out of poverty. And so whether you're a conservative or a progressive, the minimum wage has always, a fair minimum wage has always been a critical linchpin of a thriving economy, but the Tea Party is holding it hostage.
Well, in a lot of our discussions, particularly I think on the Democratic side, sometimes people like to see things in a black or white, either or. Are there any companies and groups that you see that are on the right side of making sure they're fighting for livable wages, paid maternity leave, those type of issues that are important to the American people?
Yeah, that's a superb question. And everywhere I go, I spend time with employers mm-hmm. who understand that paying a decent wage and decent benefits is the right thing to do, and it's the smart thing to do.
Exactly.
Just a few days ago, the CEO of a company, Chobani Yogurt, if you ever go to the yogurt aisle and you see Chobani, they're up in New York State. He just gave stock options to 10%, upwards of 10% to his workforce. And he said, I did that because you know what? I've grown exponentially, and the secret sauce of my success has been my workers. Mm. And when you look at studies, over 50% of businesses support increases in the minimum wage.
Yeah.
You look at states like South Dakota, Nebraska, Alaska, Arkansas. They had ballot referendum in 2014. Those are pretty solid Republican states, and all of them passed the minimum wage referendum. So everybody except the Republican leadership in Congress has gotten the memo about the importance of increasing the minimum wage. And businesses across this country, whether it's paid leave, whether it's minimum wage, they understand the cost of attrition, the cost of training a new worker is a significant cost. And when you pay your workers better, you reduce that.
Yeah, yeah. another big issue, and I know Secretary Clinton has been, and Senator Sanders as well, have talked about this, is equal pay for equal work. When I worked for Jim Clyburn, and Nancy Pelosi became the Speaker of the House for the first time, and I guess we won the 2006 election in 2007. Sure. One of the first bills we passed was the Lilly Ledbetter, Pay Act. It was vetoed by George Bush, but then when President Obama got into office, exactly right. What is the hurdle? Why can't we, you hear people, they say, of course I believe that women should be paid the same as men. But why is that not happening?
Well, you know, we just marked again Equal Pay Day. Yes. Earlier in April. And ironically, that same day was National Cheddar Cheese Day. I'm not kidding you, okay? And so on our social media, we put out a posting saying, you know, women who are working 100% of the time shouldn't get 86% of the cheddar, okay? Or whatever the percentage was. And, you know, this has been a chronic challenge. And it's another illustration of differences between Democrats and Republicans. I mean, when women succeed, America succeeds.
Exactly.
And the issue of paid leave as well. You know, we're the only industrialized nation on the planet that doesn't have some form of paid leave. Mm-hmm. Everywhere I go around the world, I have this conversation. And when you don't have paid leave policies in the United States, when you don't have adequate access to childcare, you put women, sometimes men, but more often women, in a horrible situation because the numbers just don't add up.
Yeah.
And so it's not a, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out why countries like Canada, where Canada and the U.S. used to have identical female labor force participation back in 2000. Canada's about 8 points higher than we are. And the simple reason is they have sensible paid leave policies and we don't. If we kept pace with Canada over these last 15 years, we'd have something like 8 million more people, women, in the workplace. 8 million more women, you know, contributing to that Social Security Trust Fund, to the Medicare Trust Fund. And that contributes to the pay gap because they leave the workforce and then they come back in, and then they have a tougher sled. Discrimination contributes to the pay gap. Let's be blunt about it. And as someone who spent my entire career in civil rights work, it's amazing to me that in the year 2016 you still see things like pregnancy discrimination. And we're making progress, but we've got to keep moving. That's why the president signed the Lilly Ledbetter bill as the first bill. That's why we're doing a lot more to make sure that data is out there because you measure what you value what you measure.
Yeah.
So we're working on an initiative right now to make sure that businesses are collecting data about pay issues so that we can figure out if there's a problem. And guess what? If the Republicans are right and there's no problem, then let that sunshine prevail. I don't think they're right, and I'm pretty confident of that. So we're going to keep fighting because, again, when women succeed, America succeeds. And I've got two daughters, and I want them to be able to realize their highest and best dreams. I want them to shatter all these glass ceilings, and I want to put an end to Equal Pay Day.
Yeah.
I'm really sick of having to mark it every year.
Oh, I hear you on that. I know in terms of your two daughters, either one of them want to go and have a life in government, and I know you have siblings who are all in the medical field, right?
I have four. I'm the youngest of five. All my siblings are doctors, and I had to promise them that I'd never be a plaintiff's personal
injury. Did
you
just hate blood or something?
I actually watched my brother operate once when I was about 17, and after they peeled me off the ground, I decided I need another line of work. My dad was a doctor as well. I was 12 when my dad died, and I think probably the reason I didn't go into it is I didn't really have the exposure because he had already passed away, and my older siblings had a little bit more exposure. But I always wanted to change the world, and I looked around, and lawyers seem to be folks who've been disproportionately involved in trying to make the world a better place.
Well, have your daughters decided lawyer, doctor, or something else?
I've got one in college, another one who will be in college in September, and I think my oldest one definitely wants to change the world.
Yeah.
I don't know where she got that from. My wife actually is a legal aid lawyer, and she works with homeless people in the District of Columbia, and so, you know, our parents You know, my parents taught me that if you want to get to heaven, you got to have letters of reference from poor people. But they didn't tell me how many. So I'm continuing to try to accumulate, and my wife as well. And, you know, it's a labor of love. And we try to model for our kids that, you know, to whom much is given, much is expected. And it's very, when I go on and we finalize a regulation that helps 2 million home health workers, mostly women of color on food stamps, get access to minimum wage and overtime protections, you know, that's exceedingly fulfilling. And when my wife helps a homeless veteran get access to a job opportunity or get housing, and address the PTSD that he hasn't been able to address, notwithstanding some efforts over the last couple decades. You know, these sorts of opportunities are priceless. You know, we may not be the richest couple in Washington, but the non-monetary rewards are priceless.
Exactly right. Well, tell us, your name has been on the lips of a lot of folks. And, you know, I've asked...
It's on the lips of a lot of Republicans, by the way, in the Wall Street Journal. I had more op-eds against me when I was up for my current job than any other cabinet secretary. And the indictment was, he's a progressive Democrat. And I confess I do plead guilty to that.
Well, you know, when the Republicans are talking about you, you must be doing something good. So,
amen to that.
You know, my viewers on Chair Chats would hate me if I didn't ask this follow-up. You have come out and supported Secretary Clinton, but let me just ask, if she says, Tom, I just think about it, would you think about it?
No, I mean, I don't think about the hypotheticals, Jamie, I love what I'm doing in my day job. Yeah. And frankly, in my personal capacity, I've spent a lot of time campaigning for Secretary Clinton because she's a dreamer and a doer. Yeah. I can't imagine somebody better situated on day one to govern, because the president has to be the multitasker in chief. Yeah. And she has such a wealth of experience, but it's not simply her experience, it's her values that I have gotten to know, and her judgment that I so value. And the voters of South Carolina obviously valued her judgment as well. And so I have not a single iota of doubt that Barack Obama is going to go down as one of the most consequential presidents in our nation's history. But his legacy will be limited unless we have Hillary Clinton to follow up, because so much of the unfinished business she's going to be able to build on. Yeah. And that is why I'm working my tail off in my personal capacity to help make sure that's the case, because I don't want Republicans to undo all the hard work we have done to build an opportunity society.
Well, Mr. Perez, Tom Perez, that's a great way to end it. And I want to thank you so much for being here with me on Chair Chats.
It's a pleasure. Thank you. And
so
thank
good
you
to
all
have you,
Democrats
Carolina.
In South Carolina.
Thank
I'm
you.
Happy to be with you.
Thank you. And thank you, because you're always welcome on Chair Chats. On the next Chair Chats. You mentioned that Tim Scott, the current U.S. Senator, has been disappointing.
Yes.
Can you point to one thing that you want the people of South Carolina to know about their senator and why they should really take a look at an alternative in you?